Welcome back to another Dirt Shed Show, guys. Today we are discussing, is our man on GMBN Tech, Owen Coote, wrong? That's right, guys. We are back with myself, Fergus Ryan, and of course...
Rich Payne.
Rich Payne. Doing, all good, mate.
Fergus, good to see you.
Feels like
very formal.
Feels like it's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, I haven't been on in a little while. I've been a busy bee. I've been off a little bit. I've been just riding in the rain because that's literally all I do at the moment. It's just do crazy rides in the rain. But yeah, claiming Owen's wrong. Whoa.
I know. It's a dangerous topic. However, have you seen his latest tech show?
Look, if you want to wear a full face helmet, you want to wear loads of body armour, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you.
There
but what I will say is that that elevated sense of self-preservation comes with actually lots of risk. If you love hucking, keep doing it. It's a good thing and it keeps us in jobs because you will break more stuff. If you enjoy flow trails, I'll say woo, 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 woo on the helmets.
Yeah.
Just ride a little bit slower. Pull that brake.
Yeah.
Pump the brakes. Ride within yourself.
Right. It got me thinking. I mean, Owen was basically saying, if you're wearing a trail lid and you're thinking you might need a full face, don't wear it because you should just lower your riding standard and ride slower to ride a trail lid.
Yeah.
Something I feel you and I might disagree on.
Yeah, so this is... I have to think about this because this is a big one.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword. I'm a man who wears very little in terms of when it comes to padding. I literally wear a helmet, actually, most of the time.
Your knees would tell you otherwise, yeah. Exactly. Your knees would agree.
Yeah, my hands, stuff like that. I can see where Owen's coming from, but I am in our camp, for sure. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you need to be in a full face all the time, or if you're having to wear all of that all the time, then... You probably need to a little evaluate what you're riding or what you're doing to a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree.
But you and I both have grown up. We love going fast. Mm. The fun part about riding for us is pushing our limits.
100%.
So with that, if we didn't wear full faces, we'd just be taking an unnecessary risk by wearing a trail lid. And also, we should just be going as far... For me, what's fun is to go fast. So therefore, why wouldn't I wear the protection that then gives me the confidence... to do so?
Yeah, I agree, dude. You'd never race without a full face on. And, although I don't wear knee pads a lot of the time, I would always wear them racing, one, because it's the rules, but two, because they give me the confidence to go faster. There's two angles on this, isn't it? Because we are, not to blow our own trumpets, pretty good riders.
Yeah.
We can do some pretty good things and go pretty fast. So the risk versus reward becomes bigger and the consequences when it goes wrong become bigger. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I'm going to try and play devil's advocate to a degree. I still think you're wrong, Owen. But Owen is a steadier rider.
Yeah.
So I think he wants to feel safe. But you could argue that obviously if someone is of like a certain skill level but riding above that or that pads are giving them the confidence to ride above their skill level, well, then that's actually like a sort of false economy type thing.
Yeah, I do. I get where Owen's coming from on that. I think, you know, wear the extra protection, but don't use that to do something that's just truly out of your limit.
Like, agreed.
You know, use it to feel more safe potentially when you're riding at your limit.
Yeah.
But don't push beyond it. Or at least if you are going to push beyond it, you have to be accepting of the consequences, which I think is where you and I are kind of in agreement. I think... Owen's very much of, you just shouldn't be there, don't ever ride above your limit.
Yeah,
You and I have made careers from basically testing that limit consistently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we're always going to sit on that side of like, well, I'd just rather be protected than not. But I get where Owen's coming from. We're saying like, you know, he likes to just go for a ride, you know, round town or whatever
he's
doing. Yeah,
you know, like hit the flow trails and stuff.
Yeah.
The other sort of thing it can do or like the difference I find is that like I will hit something that I probably 100% many times should have wore a full face on, but I have quite high self-confidence and confidence in my ability, my bike handling skills and confidence in my bike, that I think I'll probably be okay, yeah. Or I will be okay, to be fair, actually. And then you look back and you go, maybe I probably should have had a full face on. And I think that is also a different thing. It is a confidence. I don't know what the word is. It is a confidence booster.
Yeah, and I think this is where we, you know, this all stemmed from Adam coming with me to the bike park in Spain.
Nearly dying, and held it well.
He did nearly die, admittedly. He got very front heavy, but I think I made sure, because I was a little bit nervous about it, I was like, you have to wear the proper protection. So I gave him his bluegrass back protector, I gave him his foot, made sure he was wearing full face. And he was very much of the opinion that that then felt made him feel like he was invincible. And I think that that's where it does potentially get a little bit
wrong.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's what Owen's getting at. He's like, even if you're wearing that protection, you can still hurt yourself. And he took an unnecessary risk. I don't think it was, because I think he was so stoked he made it. And he gets to say he ticked off a big old jump.
True.
But then, we're sitting on a very different side of the spectrum.
We are. Do you think he would have hit it if he didn't have the full face on?
I don't know. And I think maybe
I
not.
Think you probably do know a little bit. I think you might know a little.
I think he probably would have been like, I might really hurt myself here. And I think then that's the thing of like, maybe it gives you that full sense of security.
I reckon. But I mean, you know, we have to look at, you know, majority of riding, I don't wear pads ever. Obviously a helmet always. But nothing else. So, like, it's, you know, if we're going to go down that skills kind of confidence route, you go, well, hang on, why are the world's best always riding in back protectors, elbow pads, knee pads? Well, I was thinking about this, and I was like, well, actually, it's because for them, they have another point of view, and we do to a touch as well. But they have another point of view. They look at it, and it, if they crash, they're 100% going to have a big one. So it's actually, for them, it's damage limitation. So essentially, they can carry on working, because that is their job. You know, if you look at Bruni, Piron, Valley Hole, et cetera, who are padded up most of the time to the hilt, despite being incredibly fit and healthy and whatnot.
Yeah, I think
they want to reduce the risk.
Yeah, they want to reduce the risk. And I think it's that thing of, like, Owen saying, you don't necessarily need to crash on your mountain bike ever. There's a potential. There's a world which Owen lives in and other people live in.
Many do.
I live in the world, and you do, I'm sure, of just going, well, I know it's going to happen at some point.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Biking,
you're riding bikes, you're pushing, you know, that's part of it. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to crash, for instance, my knee pads, I wear my knee pads whenever I go on my bike. But that's that's, I know that not everyone does, but that's just something that I go, well, if I'm going to go down, the first thing that's going to hit it is probably my knee, and therefore I'm like, I protect it. But I then weakly, same as you, I'll wear a trail lid and do silly
things. Yeah, we'll hit big gaps.
I'm like, well, I probably should be wearing a full face.
Yeah,
it is definitely it's a real double-edged sword. I hate to say it. I kind of understand where Owen's coming from.
Now you break it down, right? It's hard, but I do 100%, and, you know, from someone who's been to many bike parks many times, think a lot of people will take unnecessary risks because they are, I'm going to call it, over-padded, overconfident in those pads. So I suppose that begs the question to you, the viewer, to over-pad or not? That is the question. Are you a rider who is looking like a stormtrooper head to toe because you would rather feel safe and maybe push your limits a little bit? Or are you well aware of what you can do and you don't want, you know, to be literally covered in plastic head to toe and stuff like that? Let us know in the comments down below. Was Owen wrong? We want to know. Right, it is time for the news now, and we're going to kick things off with a crash story. They do happen, and it seems to tie in nicely with what we were just chatting about. Sir Chris Hoy, track cycling legend from Great Britain, has broken his leg in what he's claimed the biggest crash of my life whilst out on his mountain bike.
Yeah, he has indeed, and he said he's always tried to avoid getting hurt, and he's not particularly a risk taker, but he's of the opinion of, I could get hurt every single time I walk out my front door. And obviously, unfortunately, has been diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Yeah.
So I think he's like, I want to be out on my mountain bike. I want to maximise enjoyment while I can. And therefore has gone out, but has had one of the biggest crashes, which considering he's been a track cyclist, you know, that's a pretty gnarly thing. They had some big crashes. So for him to say that means it probably was a big one. But
yeah. Well, heal up soon, Mr. Hoy. Would pads have made the difference? Probably not to a broken leg. Probably not. But you never know. We don't know if he was wearing pads at the time. But yeah, heal up quickly.
Next up in the news, we have Jesse Melamed is retiring, sort of.
I know.
This is absolutely gutting. You and I both race against him. Absolute legend of our sport. Super nice guy and insanely successful on the enduro bike.
He is, yeah. Canadian shredder, enduro hero, and actually ended on a really positive note last season where he got a second overall in the series. He won the final round. Like you said, he's only going to do a few EDRs.
Yeah.
But I can see him doing these exhibition races.
I can
indeed. These kind of, we'll call it like Trans Madeira. You know, a few of the, you know, NZ Rally, a few of these other sort of cool races that he probably never got to do as much when he was racing.
I've also seen him training a lot on the downhill bike.
No.
Yeah. He was at Mont-Saint-Anne. Wow. He was at Mont-Saint-Anne last year, I believe it was. He did Mont-Saint-Anne World Cup and didn't qualify, but he did the training for it. So I would love to see him sort of come to a few World Cups. That'd be really cool as well. So on the
we can only hope to see Jesse racing some more for sure, right?
I mean, let's be honest, that man is definitely gonna be between the tapes. It's just a case of whether he's at the World Cups anymore. So we wish him the best of luck in his retirement, sort of.
Yeah, yes, and final bit of news then is that Enduro 2, the sort of organisers of the two-man racing enduro format, multi-day, which I actually raced in Verbier this year, sorry, we're not quite at the end of the year. Verbier this year, they have a race in Mirabel, have added a third venue at the Aleix Arena in Switzerland.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't
it? Yes, yeah, so entries are now up and live for that, I believe. Entries are now live. More information can be found. But it was actually a really good, fun format. I think me and you should have a crack.
Maybe you and
I think we could go for a good result. Dude, I think we could smash it. But like,
I might have to get off the pork pies. Yes. But I reckon we could do it.
But it's a great way to sort of see a cool area, ride lots of trails, race with a mate or something like that, and then just have a good time. So yeah, Enduro 2, Aleix Arena, coming next year.
Okay, next up, competition time, and this one is a big one. So FSA Wheels are giving away a set of their Afterburner i27 wheel set. Nice. The winner will be announced on the 19th of December, so next week.
You've got a little bit of time. Yeah. You can still, what are we? Yeah, you can still get in there. Axe and Bodges! Yeah, we've got some good ones coming in this week. Kicking things off with Lawrence Rogers, who's put, upon recent delivery of my new Canyon Spectra, I wanted to fill the frame up with tools. However, his Topic ratchet set wouldn't fit. So, of course, out comes a 3D printer. Because that's a household item now.
It is, right?
And he printed a solution to hold the tools in a more compact case. It's really cool what he's done, actually. A few prototypes and he landed on this and is really pleased with it. I mean, you can kind of see how he's got it. Yeah. That's the case, like the pouch it comes in, which is really good. Like, we put that in our backpacks, but he wanted, like, just the tools.
Made it, yeah, like his old own pretty clever version.
Pretty clever.
I think it's a hack, not a bodge.
Yeah, that's definitely a hack. Good shout. Lawrence, thank you very much.
So, next up, I don't know exactly who
we've
this
one's
from.
No name on this
from.
One.
We
yeah.
have no name in the submission, but it is the picture of a Focus frame with some external or internal, sorry, cable routing. So, bought a Focus Jam frame and had to redo the internal cable routing. The standard magnet fiddling tool.
Oh, you know, the one where you like trace it through. Like,
I know the one. I prefer that name though, the magnet fiddling
tool. I do like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I decided to steer a 0.5mm stainless steel TIG welding rod through the frame, which worked really well in tight spots. With the wire in the frame, I could then send the cable liner over the wire.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool, isn't it?
It's kind of like you always used to do that, like with a gear cable, but a gear cable's a lot more flexible than the welding rod, so I quite like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but we need to choose a winner. And remember, the winner, if you send your hacks and bodges in, you can win a prize up to the value of £50 from the GMBN shop. So please send them into the uploader linked below. But we need to choose one. What are we going for, Ferg?
I mean,
the Focus Jam or the Topeak 3D printer?
It's got to be the Topeak 3D printer, isn't it? I just love that, because that would be... I'd put that in my pocket and just...
That's pretty clever. Lawrence, congratulations. You are this week's winner. Please slide into them DMs to get in touch and claim your prize. And as always, don't forget, Hacks and Bodges uploaded into the uploader link down below.
On to things we like this week. And Rich, I've got a banger to kick things off. So this is from, again, our friend Guillaume Larbeau. He has gone viral recently with so many of these amazing POV loan gullies and stuff like that. But he has this really tech one that he's put out recently. And
it's amazing.
I just was like, I imagine having trails like that on your doorstep.
Yeah. Do you know what? The trail looks incredible. But his camera setup I really like as well. I don't know what the settings are he's used, but the way... he's filmed that is actually really good.
Kind of shows how it feels to ride, doesn't it? Like it's not too distorted, but it's like it gives you enough
right amount. I wish I knew a bit more about cameras sometimes to understand. But yeah, that looks pretty cool. Now I put this one in because I'm starting to feel festive, Ferg.
Oof,
and this is from Rocky Mountain. Santa Claus shredding with a reindeer dog in the snow. I mean, it's just quite cool, isn't it, really?
Can you get your dog doing that?
Yeah, I could, but he'd be gone. I'd see him for a second, and then he'd be... That. Plus, he's white and spotty, isn't he? I'd lose him straight away. So it's the perils of a Dalmatian. He would literally be gone. But look at that, like the chasing POV.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool. I do like that. I'm starting to feel festive, so that's quite good. And then... We went Enduro, didn't we?
Yeah, we did go Enduro. Alex Rudeau with... one of the most tech corners I've seen in a long time, and it was incredible. Like how he got up on the line, but
the
then
high line.
Sort of fell down onto the back wheel.
Yeah, like full trials, part manual, round and down, dropped it. Yeah. It's just quite cool. I thought that's quite going.
And like insanely quick as well. I'd be stuck on that corner for about.
You'd
half
just be
an
like,
hour.
And he's just gone like round high. Yeah. And I haven't put any moto in this week, so. You're welcome. Yeah, some cool things.
Double up for Christmas?
Oh, yeah, only if you're lucky. Only if you're lucky. Right, those are some cool things we like this week. It is now time for Caption Contest, where you send in, well, your captions for a chance again to win another prize up to the value of £50 from the GMBN shop.
We did, and this week's photo was a corker.
James, what's he doing?
He just loves lying on the ground. This man... when it comes to the wet, he's not great. He just ends up lying on the ground. So, yeah, he was doing a full Superman pose in a puddle.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but let's get on to the captions.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
First up, we have Jason True 2018 in Jeremy Clarkson's voice. I'm not sure I've got that. Meanwhile, James was having a very bad day out on the trails. I reckon that was appropriate.
What was that?
That was great. It was like a mixture of Boris Johnson.
Greasing up.
Mixture of Boris Johnson and
a 1920s general.
Yeah. I mean, that's how
meanwhile, on the Western Front, the bicycle was coming in. We had an attack to the east, and then we submitted a caption. Carry on.
Right.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. I can't even say this one. Davey D ASB. After completing the bike portion of a reverse triathlon, James starts on the swim. But with no water around, mud will be the substitute. It's a good one.
It is. And then finally we have the local angler, fisherman.
Yeah.
Crap, that Ewok came out of nowhere.
Nice Star Wars one there.
And James is about the size of an Ewok.
Wow.
Established. So,
gosh.
Right, go on then. You can pick the winner.
If I pick the first one, do you have to reread it in the style of Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, Jason True, you are the winner. Congratulations. Don't forget, slide into our DMs to claim a prize. And what was his caption, Ferg?
Meanwhile, James was having a very bad day out on the trails.
And here's this week's picture.
Yeah.
Ring my bell.
It is time for the bike vault.
Ring my bell.
Right, first up, we have Andre Lubage.
Yeah.
With a Santa Cruz, is that a Nomad?
I think it is, yeah. And he says, I got it this fall. It's the best bike I have ever owned. Love it.
I mean, it's
a pretty good looking bike.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm liking that with the old, what have we got? Exo group set, race face carbon wheels, the big old Zeb on there.
It's fresh looking. That
I
does
think
look...
that's super nice, actually, because that's a... Go on.
Go on. There we go. Super nice. Next
up, very nice.
What have we got, Rich?
This one is from... Oh, no name. It's a Marin, and I believe it's a B17. Yeah, 2017 B17. No name on it, though. Black and green, obviously. It's pretty good. It's hard to see it properly, though, at that angle.
But it is drive side just about.
It's just. Almost, yeah. I think that's a nice.
It's a nice.
I like the colour. I do actually like black and green as a colour scheme. So I think no name on that one, but very nice. Thank you very much for sending that one in.
Next up, all got a Merida. Again, no name. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to check. We're going to have to check our sources there. But please make sure you put your names on, because we do love to know who it's from. We got some aftermarket mods here, Ferg. We got a new chainring on there, different stem, big dropper. That's pretty cool. What are we saying? I think that's a nice.
I think it's a nice, yeah.
That is a nice. No, yeah, nice. Thank you very much for sending in. Please send in a better picture with your name, because you might get on it again. You never know. Probably not. Next up. Wow, this is like a bit moody, this picture. Yeah. Now, this is from Arturo Martinez. And he says, a custom-built Stanton Sedona, my first custom bike build, steel frame, Eagle drivetrain, spank hubs, stands wheels, Vittoria Mezcals.
Big fan of the tan wheels.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I quite like the picture, like the frosty ground, broken glass. Yeah. Thank you very much for sending that in, Arturo. That's a great picture. Right.
Next up, we have another no name.
Oh, my days.
I don't know what is going on, but we have... This is my Gen 6 Trek Fuel EX 9.8 XT in beautiful transparent carbon smoke paint.
Wow.
With bronze lettering. Upgraded Super Deluxe Ultimate Shock.
God, blooming heck. That is a lovely bike.
And it's perched on the 1996 Olympics MTB Trail in Georgia.
Georgia, America?
Yeah.
I assume so.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I quite like the sun's glistening away there, a bit autumnal. What do we think? That's borderline, isn't it?
I want to give it a super nice.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to give
on.
It a super
nice. Super nice that thing up.
Yeah.
Right, next up, Matthew Mabarang has sent in...
Your favourite.
There's a lot of bags on there.
There's a lot of bags.
There's a lot of bags. There's a lot of tyre going on. Now, it says, hello, you beautiful people at GMBN. This is the Urano Fat Bike for my commute and bike packing. He's covered nearly 2,000K on this thing. That's amazing. Location is Busan, South Korea. Wow, we don't get much from South Korea.
That is pretty
cool.
That is, I was going to give you a super nice.
Yeah, butterfly handlebars, top tube bag, claw crank set. Hope you guys can give me a super nice. Been a fan of GMBN since 22. Yeah. Oh, flipping
well,
heck.
There you go. Super nice.
Of course, yeah. Matthew, thank you very much for sending that in. And then finally, Ferg.
We have Jonathan Lincoln with another Trek.
Ooh, Trek this, heavy.
Yeah, this is a hardtail. So we have a Trek Roscoe 7 Black Olive with upgraded Fox 36 forks, PT's Monarch grips, SLX cranks.
Oh, post photo take. He's upgraded. He's upgraded. And Newton Moore in North Yorkshire. That's a very nice place. So I'm giving that a super nice.
Yeah, there we go.
I actually quite like that. Hardcore hardtail, the moors in the background. Jonathan, thank
Rear
you very
God.
Much. Rear
mudguard, James would be happy as well.
Very true, very true. As always, a link to the uploader is in the description down below. Please send in your bicycles because we do love to see them. And it's Christmas next week.
I know, right? Do you have a theme?
Just a Christmas theme. Get some tinsel on there.
Yeah,
do
some
it. Baubles some on the handlebars.
Sparkles.
Jazz that thing right up.
Kicking things off, we have the Mega Presenter Challenge. Now, this was a wild one, wasn't it?
It was mega.
All of the presenters together, multiple challenges, all different kinds of bikes, and there was absolute carnage that unfolded, wasn't
there? Yeah, I mean, 300 quid budget each, cheap bikes, plus a bike park. It was chaotic, but it's going to be a very good watch. Stick around on Sunday to watch that one. We've also got, is this the secret to next level performance on your XC bike? James dives into the world of tyres. Bear with him, because it's actually pretty interesting and there's way more to it than you think.
Well, on that note, Rich, that is the end. Shall we give them the ultimate outro from Jeremy Clarkson?
Well, on that bombshell, good night!